Welcome to Afros in the Diaspora. My name is Sarah. I am your host, and together we will vent, rant, laugh, and cry as we discuss the highs and lows of being an immigrant. Stay tuned for stories that will inspire, inform, entertain, and give hope. This is Afros in the Diaspora. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Afros in the Diaspora. And today we have a dancer, a performer from the country of Nigeria all the way in Ireland, doing incredible things in Dublin with his own dance company, doing great things. Proud African King, Mr. Favor. Welcome
Hello.
To the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. Hi.
How are you doing? How are you? Are you ready to get into our trivia questions? Or like, are you ready to get into it?
I'm ready. I'm born ready. Like, you have to be ready every time. So I'm like, bring it on.
Okay, if you say so.
Yeah.
All right, let's start. Do you remember your states and capitals, Mr. Favor?
Sure.
Because that's
sure,
the first...
yes, yes.
You sure? Okay, okay. I like the confidence. Are you ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. All right, go.
I should say everything.
You okay, say half of it, so I gotta say everything.
State and capital. Abia, Umaya, Adamawa, Yola, Ako Aibo, Uyo, Bayosa. Something. Bauchi, Bauchi. Benue, Makodi, Cross River, Calabar, Delta, Asaba. I'm sorry, that's where I end. That's where my brain ends.
You know what? I'll give you 4/10 for that. Even though, you know, there's some hiccups.
It was just one hiccup. It's not like there was plenty.
Okay, you skipped. First of all, you're not finished. You didn't say up to 10. Out of 36, you didn't say up to 10. One.
I said now. Abia, Umaya, Adamawa, Yola, Akwa Ibo, Muyo, Anambra, Oka, Bauchi, Bauchi, Bayosa, Yenogwe, Benue, Maduguri, Cross River, Calabar.
No. Benue, Makodi.
Benue, Makodi, Cross River, Calabar, Delta, Asaba, Lagos, Oshodi.
Did you say Oshodi for Lagos?
Abuja.
Stop.
See, I have not been in. I don't understand. Why is this the first question? You say, hey, Afro in diaspora, Favor in Ireland for how many years? And the first question is name, state, and capital in Nigeria.
Yes, of course. We have to see how much you remember of your motherland.
This is rigged. If you had asked me a more recent question about the goings on or about Ireland,
that's
state and capital.
Okay. No wala.
Yeah, no, I know we're 36 states. I know, yeah. I know the states. Do I know the capitals? Maybe not. The states, yes.
Okay.
I can name all the states for you if you want.
No, you can't. I don't have confidence.
No, I can't. It's the capital that I cannot name all everything.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a few, like, I'll just rapid fire ask you some questions about Nigeria in general. I know, you're in Dublin, Ireland, doing incredible things, but you cannot forget where you came from now, Abi. Do you want me forgetting where you're from?
No, I won't.
Exactly. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Okay? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
What was General Babangida's position before becoming president?
I'm sorry, the network just cracked. I didn't hear you. What did he say? He said,
What was General Babangida's position before he became the president of your motherland, Nigeria?
He was a general of the Nigerian army.
He was a general. Chief of army staff, actually. You're right. Okay.
You want to be giving somebody a confusing question. I was like, did he have another job after general before he became president? He took over now military coup.
Mm-hmm.
over.
Yes, it took over. Okay, okay. Clap for yourself. Okay. I'm going to ask you a few simple ones now. These ones are very easy, but...
No, keep going. I'm a hard person. I know the hard ones.
Oh, you know simple the hard ones. Okay.
I'm not simple.
Okay, who discovered the source of the Niger River?
You didn't say who discovered the Niger River. You said who discovered the source.
The source, yes.
God Almighty. Because it's the source of everything. Our life, your life, the world,
gosh.
And our existence.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Who discovered the source of Niger River?
The Landa brothers. They completed the work started by Mungo Park, the Landa brothers. Haga, you got this.
I got this.
Yeah. So whose face is on the 20 naira notes? Easy.
What do you mean by easy? I have not seen that 20 naira note in 4 years. So how do you mean by easy? Whose face is on the 5 naira note?
I am the one asking the questions here, sorry.
Okay, wait, hint. You know, let's do it like, who wants to be a millionaire? There's hint.
There's no hint. Let me see.
Is a woman? Or is a man?
Well, it's a Nigerian general. I think we just talked about him like 2 minutes. No.
Wait, but it was Babangida?
No, oh, sorry, no. We did not just talk about him. But he's a Nigerian general. It's a Nigerian general.
Now he's on the 20, you said the 29 notes.
29 notes, yeah.
The general that's on the 20. Are you sure it's a general?
Yeah, it's a general.
Because my mind keeps going to Tafawa Balewa.
It's not Tafawa Balewa.
The new notes or the old notes?
Oh God, going. They ask plenty.
Please just give the answer at this point.
It's Murtala Mohammed.
Murtala Mohammed.
Yes.
See, when you said general, like my mind is thinking about general. You had said president or head of state. I would have mentioned his name.
Imu Naso. Okay, this one is another easy one. Nigeria achieved independence in 1960 from which European country?
London.
London. Is London from a which European country? Is London Nigeria a country?
Wait. Nigeria achieved independence from which European country?
Uh-huh.
Were we not colonized by the British?
Yeah, but you said London, this guy.
No, but 1 second. We're colonized by the British, right?
Yes.
So you're talking about it was a European country before, not now. Because right now, you know they split from the European Union. And now they are no more part of the Union.
Oh God, which country colonized Nigeria? Britain. So why did you say London before?
Because Britain, obviously I knew it was Britain. I don't know why I said London, but obviously I knew it was Britain. But when you said European country, that's why I got confused, because I knew that they are no more a part of the European Union. So I was like, wait. But obviously I know it's Britain.
We don't, yeah. All these people I used to explain too much. We have it.
I can't answer the right question.
You answered the question. Yeah, I did not say Japan. You know. Japan, okay, you don't say Japan. Good for you. All right, let me ask you 2 last questions. What is the capital of Abia State?
What?
Capital of Abia State. You just said it now.
Umuahia now.
Yeah, now. Oh, yeah, spell Umuahia.
Umuahia.
Okay, clap for yourself. Look at you.
Oh God, you're underestimating me.
Okay, so who is the president of Calcutta Republic? Who was the president of Calcutta Republic? Musician.
Fela.
No. He created it, so he was
Calcutta Republic.
He created it, so he was the, he was the president.
There is so much I don't know.
Okay, so. Last question. Let me look for one nice one for you. You mentioned Obasanjo before, so who was Obasanjo's vice president during his first term as president?
I cannot see what I want to say on this. I can't even explain the explanation.
Just say the name.
Wait, 1 second. He's the one that brought generator to Nigeria. He's still running for presidency now. Abubakar.
Abubakar Atiku.
He's still trying to run for presidency at this age. I don't know.
Is Trump not trying to rerun again at 90? I'll be 80. I'll be how old is the guy? If you believe in yourself, you can achieve. Oh my goodness. Okay, I'll round this up by asking you one very simple riddle. Okay?
Okay.
Simple. Again, easy peasy. Okay? Yeah. You got this. All right? Okay. Well, how can a trouser pocket or how can a pants pocket be empty and still have something in it?
How can a pants pocket be empty?
Yeah.
And still have something in it?
In it. Yeah. Like your trouser now is empty, but there's something in it.
How can a pants pocket be empty but have something in it?
Yep.
And there's no hint for this one.
No, there's no hint. What's in it is not tangible. That's a hint, I guess. Or is it? I don't even know. I just made up that hint, but yeah.
How can it be empty, but have something in it at the same time?
That's the riddle, yeah. Answer it. Would you like me to just help you out here? We have assistance.
Yes, please. This pause is just going to keep pausing.
It's just going to keep pausing, okay. It has a hole in it. The pocket has a hole in it. That is why it's empty. But it has something in it.
Wow.
What a wow. Wonderful. Okay. Well,
one day it will be my turn to ask questions. That day.
Would you like to vindicate yourself with one last one? Or you're like, I don't
know. What do you mean by vindicate? Technically, I've only lost 3 questions.
Okay, now no wala.
Yes.
No problem.
Yes. Out of the many you've asked, I've lost a few.
Just a few.
So you want to try me again one more time?
If you're open to it, honestly, I have a few.
Then look, let's go.
Let's go. Okay. What goes up when the rain comes down?
Hey. Goes up when the rain comes down.
Mm-hmm. Continue.
What goes up when the rain comes down?
Yes.
I don't know. What is it?
Umbrellas. The umbrellas go up when the rain comes down.
Okay, next one.
Oh, you want to?
let's not dwell too much.
You want to do one last one? Now, no wala.
Let's be vindicated. Let's vindicate ourselves.
Okay, let's see. If I drink, I die. If I eat, I am fine. What am I?
If I drink, I die.
I die, yes.
If I eat like eat food.
Yeah, eat
or
anything.
Or eat anything.
Yeah, I'm fine.
If I eat, I die. If I drink, I'm fine. What am I? Wait. If I say it again.
If I eat, I am fine. If I drink, I die. What am I?
Okay. If I eat, I'm
fine. God.
Okay. Is this a living thing or a non-living thing?
It's a non-living.
It's a living thing.
It's not a living.
It's a non-living.
It's a non-living
thing.
Yeah.
Is a non-living thing.
Mm-hmm. But it can grow. It's a non-living thing, but it can grow. And it can live and it can die.
A non-living thing, it can grow.
It can grow,
it can live,
yeah.
And it can die.
Yeah, and it can die, yeah.
You know what? I think this concludes the end of these questions. Yeah, tell me, what is it? What is it?
It's a fire. If a fire drinks water, liquid, anything, it dies. But if it eats
if I want to drag this riddle with you now, I would say it's not all fire that can be quenched with water.
For the sake of this particular riddle, it's water that can quench it. But thank you so much for engaging in the trivia and in the riddles and in the icebreaker. This was so much fun.
Nah, it was fun, right?
Yes, it was. I hope you had fun too.
Thank you for the fun.
Okay, so we're going to go into our topic today. And, you know, on this episode, Favour, you're just sharing your story essentially of, we went to school together, by the way, right? We went to Redeemer's University. Went to Redeemer's University. We were both in the theater arts department. I think I was a couple of levels ahead of you, so I think I graduated before you. But we were in the same dance group, the Davidic dance group, dance crew, DDC, you know. And we were probably in plays together back then in school, you know. So yeah, I know you to an extent, and you know, it was really, really, really cool and really fun back in school. And so, yeah, just seeing all the things you're doing in the world right now, I just am filled with so much pride for you and so much. I'm so proud of you and just excited for all the things you're doing. Like, you literally told me back then in Davidic that you want to have your own dance group. You're going to have your own. You're doing it. Like, and that's, I think that's just what is so incredible about your story. And not only are you doing it in Nigeria, did you do it in Nigeria, but you literally traveled and you're doing it still, right? So yeah, so round of applause for you. This is really cool. I want you to just share your story. Yeah, share your story from graduating from the Redeemer's University to like where you were like, you know what, Favour, I need to jackpa from this country called Nigeria. Like, what was that thought process like for you, and how did you end up traveling to Ireland? What made you choose Ireland? You know, maybe you can tease us with your Irish accent a little bit. You know, but yeah, no, like, what was that journey like for you?
So I'm going to speak with the accent that I speak with here in Ireland. Mm-hmm. You know, it's what we've become nowadays. It's not more the Nigerian way. I graduated in 2016. And then one of the first things I did was to join a dance company, a Magneto dance company with Kathy. And I remember I joined in September 2016, because apparently what happened was, by the time I finished I was in my last year in Redeemer's, you had to find like a, I've forgotten what they call it, you have to find a, you know, on your project, in your final year, you have to find someone to write about. I can't remember what it's called. Mm-hmm. And then Kathy was one of the people I picked, and another dance artist named Shegun Adefila. And what happened was, I had a meeting with her. I scheduled a meeting with her to, you know, oh, I'm writing my thesis. She's one of the topics of my thesis. I would like to have an interview with her. Mm-hmm. And yada, yada, yada. And then what happened was, we had the interview. Then it was at her newly studio. It was still being worked on at the time. And we got to talking, and I asked her about dance as a career and how we could work and what are the things that needed to be done. And, you know, I just kept on going and going and going. And apparently she was impressed by, you know, what I was doing, apparently. I don't know, but maybe it was God or whatever, or probably God, yeah. And then she said, no, I said at the end of the interview, I would like to come work for you. That's the point of the thesis. That's the point of me doing what I'm doing, exactly, because you are literally the inspiration, one of the few inspirations behind what I'm going to do. Fine, she said, okay, if you get an A on your thesis, if you pass your thesis, well, if you get like above a 70, you can come. I was like, yes.
Challenge accepted.
I went back, I think I got a 70-something. I can't remember what I got. Okay. A 70-something. And then I knew the moment I got it, I ran back. I was like, my, I got it. I got the blah, 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 blah. Told her about it, and then she said I could come to the office around, I think it was June or July. And when I came back, it was fully done. Like, they were done with the studio. It was all like decked out. I was like, wow. Imagine I was in this place and there was nothing, and now it's like, you know, everything is awesome. Yeah. And I remember I got there and I would always just be smiling. Like, she was very busy, right? So I would stand at the reception and I'd be like, oh, she'll be here in an hour and I'll stay there. And then she would come and she would walk in, like, because she would go straight into a rehearsal. And I'll just be half smiling like this. And then she would come back and then it happened like 2-3 times. And then she was like, oh, I should come to the office. And then I got to the office and it wasn't until later she told me this, that she wondered, why was I smiling? Like, she would pass and I was just like this. Like, why? What's he smiling for? Mm-hmm. And then I got to the office and I told her, oh, I passed her stuff and I would like to work with her. I'd like to intern. And she gave me a shot, you know, which I'm really grateful for, because it's not every time you find opportunities like that from places where you don't know anyone. They don't know you. Mm-hmm. So for her giving me that, I would say trust and that, like, belief in putting me as part of an organization. I mean, I was nobody. I was not. She just, oh, somebody in one school says writing a thesis on you. He came, did an interview. You know, I wasn't, it was not like I was anyone special or I had any, yeah, like, you know, special connection or whatever. So the fact that I even got that opportunity, for me, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
At that time, even till now, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I started working with her. I started as an intern. And then I did my NYC. I served under the company for a year with NYC. Man, they pushed them into Ocean State.
Yeah.
First of all, nah. No. When I saw that posting, I was like, this would not happen in Jesus' name. But you know, you have to do like a month. The induction,
yes, you have
month
to do
or whatever.
The camp. Yeah. You have to do the camp.
It was not funny. I stayed with these people. How I even got them, I don't even understand. I shouted at the house. Everybody was a Redeemed Church house. So all of they just made you stay. How I got that house, I cannot remember. Okay. And I remember we're like four in the house. There was never any light. There was ready money for diesel. We would cook beans. You know when you cook, so because the gas, not the gas, why am I saying gas?
The stove.
Where do we have gas? The stove. You know stove has wick.
Yeah.
Not the wick.
Yeah.
We can only afford a small amount of kerosene.
Right.
So what we would do is before we pour the kerosene in the stove, we'll soak the wick inside the kerosene,
right,
and then fix it inside and then pour a tiny bit of the kerosene, because we don't know when we're going to, because if you get money monthly, so you have to make sure.
Ration
that
it well.
In your hair.
Yeah.
So we'll not turn it on. When we turn on the stove, and that time we used to cook beans a lot, because mm-hmm. you know beans, if you cook it, we'll turn it off, it will soak. And we'll, yep, leave you overnight so that the next day we cannot eat it.
Wow.
Bit by bit.
Wow.
And then with Gary, we normally just put Gary.
Yeah, Gary.
On the special days when they just pay us, we'll go to the market, we'll buy fish, we'll cook stew, we'll sit down, rest and stew. Ah, those days, it was joyful. There was no light, though. There was no light. Mm-hmm. But the joy, we'll sit on the floor and eat and share our stories, man. It felt like that. It was the best day in the world. And then find the tiny days that they would turn on, that NEPA would bring light, in 2-3 hours, they would take it.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember, as I'm talking, I remember the taste of that food that time, because it was very precious.
It was very precious. You know, it was
precious food.
Yeah.
And then,
but yeah, so
I
you
was
got
there
posted.
For a month. Yeah, and then I got posted. And then after that, I went back to Lagos, which I was very grateful to Almighty Jesus for. And then I worked in the company for a year as an intern. I finished as an intern. I started working permanently with the company, you know, first as a dancer and then as an administrator. Then I graduated into working also as a fitness instructor.
Okay.
And then I began to get more roles, you know, handling budgets, handling finance,
mm-hmm.
being in charge of the entire dancers, becoming a project and a program manager, depending on the job or the role.
Mm-hmm.
And then it grew into when Inmagneto planned to create an academy for new and upcoming dancers. I was starting to create a curriculum, the schedule. And then I became a performer also. And then I graduated into an assistant choreographer and then a choreographer. And then I was working with artists such as, I mean, I worked with so many artists. You can name them, Bonaboy, Wizkid, Fino, Tiwa Savage, DJ Copy, Olamide, just name them all. I Divange, Two Face, and so much more. And then I work with different brands, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, with different awards, Sound City Awards, Hit TV. Yeah, so it's just, it's a lot to mention.
Incredible. That's incredible. Yeah. That's your resume, man. That is wonderful. That's so cool.
Yeah, so we went around. And I did a little Calabar Carnival. So for me, the beauty of that period was the diversity of performances, the diversity of events, and the diversity of businesses, brands, and organizations we worked with. You know, we went across the business sector, the banking sector, the entertainment sector, churches, the religious sector. So we the company had services that span across these different sectors, and it was really thriving. And then I remember in 2020, because before I started, I spoke with her and said, oh, it's my dream, it's my goal to travel, to, you know, work and study marketing, business administration, because from my thesis, I kind of understood what I needed to do if I was to attempt making dance a career as opposed to just dancing for fun. And then she was like, yeah, sure, no problem, blah, 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 blah. And then in 2018 was when I began my search to, you know, advance to study. 2018, I applied. I couldn't travel. Let me talk about how I even found the contract. First of all, my secondary school, where I went to, they usually had this like organization that helped people travel abroad.
Right.
And I generally had no clue where I wanted to go.
Okay.
At the beginning, I was like, wherever I close my eyes and point, and they have what I need, I'm going there.
Right.
And then my brother stayed, he's in the UK. And I was like, yeah, let's go to the UK. I'm like, sure. And then I tried to apply to the UK. Actually, this is a different story. I tried to apply to the UK years before in 2012, but then I had an issue, right? And then this time I also tried to apply to the UK again, but then I think the funds were very high. And I was like, bro, think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it, right? And then I told the advisory manager at that point, I was like, okay, for me, it doesn't really matter what country, as long as they have this. And then she came back to me with like options, and Ireland was one of them. And I was like, oh, Ireland. I was like, yeah, I would do that. She was like, oh, yeah, sure. I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And then she applied for me, and then I got it, 2018. And then, yes, 2018. And then I got it. And then I didn't have the funds for it, because then they said you had to pay a specific amount. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give myself 1 year to save for it. I'm going to get help from family. And, you know, 2019 will go again. And then I postponed. I defaulted it. I think I defaulted it twice. So I think it started 2017, but that's another story for another day. I defaulted it. 2019, I applied. First time, I was denied visa. Oh, my God, I wanted to cry. But the reason why I wanted to cry, it wasn't because I was denied. It was because I had told everybody that I was leaving. So the moment where I should have disappeared, I was still appearing.
You were still there.
So people started asking the unanswerable questions. I thought you were. What happened?
Didn't you say?
And then, no, in my classic Nigerian way, I said, man, I didn't get it. It's because I was telling people. And some people went to the village to, you know, pray for my refusal. So this time, I did not tell anybody.
Silence.
Nothing. Same thing. Yeah. What is happening? I don't know. I just, it's going to work. And then I got it. And late, I will never forget that day. I was at home with Kathy. And then my dad called me and said, your passport has arrived. This was 2019. And I said, oh, okay, no problem, sir. And then I went straight to Kathy and I was like, ah, mama, can I go home? I would like to go home. Like, I just told her I would like to go in case there's a job or whatever, so she will know I'm not around.
Right.
She's like, yeah, sure. Went straight home. My dad was sitting on the bed. He was like, yeah, this is it. He didn't open it, which I don't know why. But then I opened it and I flipped the pages and I saw that visa stamp. Oh my God. I think I didn't move. I didn't move. I just stood there. And my dad was like, congratulations. And I was like, I'm going. The next stage. Because for me, this was the next stage of, you know, the career and the goal. Mm-hmm. And fast forward to, I traveled. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell nobody until the day. Now, in the company, I only told Kathy, but I didn't tell anybody else. So the weekend before I traveled, I had a meeting. And I was like, okay, guys, so I'm leaving today. Like, I was leaving the company today, and my flight was 2 days after. Mm-hmm. And they were like, what? What about you? I was like, yeah, I got accepted. So I'm traveling, and I'm leaving, and I'll be, you know, going. And they were like, oh, my God, Pepper, you're going. Oh, my God. And I was like, yeah, guys, I'm sorry. They're like, why didn't you tell us before? I was like, I was just trying to be cautious. And then I left. I left. I got to Ireland. I got the biggest shock of my life. It was cold. As I came, it was minus two. I'll never forget because I wore just a shirt and pants. And I took off my jacket, and I had a call with my friend, Teddy. And I was like, yo, Teddy, I'm in Dublin. I'm in Ireland. And I went straight outside. Now, this was January 2020. Wow. I went straight outside, and the moment the doors opened, I saw the cold come up from my mouth, and I reversed immediately. And I was like, why didn't I check?
I'm like, Teddy, may I call you back a bit?
Yo, I knew it was cold, but my brain did not just register that kind of cold, because I've never been that kind of cold in my life. So even when people said, it's going to be cold, in my brain, I'm like, ah, sure, like, it's going to be, I'm going to be like, not, I'm going to go, and cold is coming out of my mouth. Like, I'm drinking cold, I'm licking
like,
ice.
Like Hollywood movie.
Hey. It didn't even click for me. But then, yeah, so I moved to Ireland by myself. Mm-hmm. And I like saying this for context. I moved to Ireland with nothing but 423 euros in my pocket. Mm-hmm. Right? And I was like, okay, yes. I have to find my way in this. Right? And yes, I had friends. I think I met a couple of people here. But it's just been me working my way towards it everywhere. I started school. Mm-hmm. I had to find a new house in a week, which I thought was possible. But I got here and they were like, oh, Ireland is in a housing crisis. It will take you months. And I only booked a week. So my brain was like, if it passes that week, when will I stay? Mm-hmm. Hmm. So every day after class, I would go to a viewing. I would get there. They would not come out. I cannot see the viewing. I would walk back home. There was a day I went and my phone was low. I got to the venue. I called the person. They didn't pick up. They didn't answer me, nothing. After telling me the address and this is where it was, my phone died. Now, mind you, for a Nigerian that has never traveled, mm-hmm. we don't know anything about Google Maps.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I can concur.
Ah, and then my phone died. In my brain, it felt like I was in, maybe I live in Lagos. It felt like I was in Adamawa. I was like, where am I? What is this? I just started walking. I was just walking. I didn't ask questions because I just kept on walking. And I walked for like 14 minutes. And then I was like, let me just go to this hotel and beg them that she charged. Then they printed out Google Maps for me on paper. That's how I carry paper. I walk like this. I'll see.
Yep.
I reach there.
That's exactly it. Look around. Check the landmark. Mm. Yep.
Mm. Sha. It took me, I think, 3 hours to find my way back home. Now, the place I was is not far from here. So I used to wonder, where did I walk to? Because I know where the place, I remember the hotel. I passed by the hotel every time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I was in this hotel. So why did I walk when my house was here? So why did I walk all the way like this? You know, that kind of funny way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And fast forward, I finished school. COVID happened. Mm-hmm. I was working from home. I was doing a warehouse job. I injured my back. And then I went to a physio. And they were like, oh, use your back injury. You have to take it easy. You can't dance anymore. Because if you do, you might lose your back. You might not walk again. Blah, blah, blah. See, honestly, I think white doctors are just very, very, very dramatic people. They don't believe in the Nigerian strength. And the Nigerian, once you eat Eba and you keep working hard and you believe in yourself, anything is possible.
Eba and Jesus.
Eba and Jesus. And take it easy. Make sure you eat good.
Rest.
Meat.
Yes.
Burger. Correct food. They'll be strong in Jesus' name. So I didn't dance for like 3 months. Now I understand the term for that was I was like anxiety and depression. That's what they call it. Mm-hmm. Nigerians, we don't have anxiety and depression. If you feel that way, you're like, tomorrow I can't walk.
So I was like that. I was suppressed.
Yeah, I was like, I was overworking. I was doing Pilates. I was doing leg upside down. Mm-hmm. Man, I used so many things from YouTube.
Was that yoga?
Oh, no, it's Pilates. You sit that upside down. You put like a pillow under your back and you rest. So it releases the tension in your back. And then upside you open down. Your legs so that. Yeah, but you'll be laying on the floor like this. And then you put your leg up on the wall like this.
Wow, okay.
And then you put a pillow under here. And then to release the tension in the back, which is causing whatever. And then you open your legs. And then you just relax and you stand up. The way it was, so I had a sciatica. Mm-hmm. But then I also had like two of my lower discs. A nerve was cut in between.
Oh, like pinched nerve?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was a sciatica, that's what I saw. And that's what they called it. And that's what the doctor kept saying. So I did physio. I did, those who that break bones. What's your name?
Yeah, chiropractor.
Ah, yeah. I spent too much money on that. But then, fast forward 3 months after, I was like, okay, I'm going to dance.
Bones. First of all, those people that break bones is wild.
They were fine. Yeah. And then, I think that all this happened between November and December of 2021. Mm-hhm. And then, January 2020. Okay. Fast forward to like March 2021, I was like, man, I need to kickstart my dreams. I don't care. But let me dance and then break my leg is fine. I can't stay at home and do nothing anymore. I started dancing in March. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, the dancing helps me heal. So I was like, bro, you should have just told me to dance instead of telling me to take long walks, like Pilates, whatever. Yeah. The guy was not even a dancer, so how would I have wiped that from the scene to him?
He's a doctor. People, I
think. Yeah, but doctors don't understand dancers. It's like an athlete. If an athlete injures, he will go to an athlete doctor. He won't go to an emergency service doctor, you know?
Got you.
But they will put the fear of God in you. Yeah. So then the first job I ever did, and I swear to God. Okay, first of all, I have a question because I knew, is this going to be aired worldwide?
Yeah.
Anybody can see this.
Okay.
Then let me not say what I want to say. This can be in the conversation. If you ask me this later, I will explain it.
You explain it, but, okay, no worries. Yeah.
But what happened was this. I joined a dance company, IMVT, the Irish Modern Dance Theater, on a performance. That was my first entry into the arts world in Ireland. Mm-hmm. First. And it was introduced to me by a friend that I mentioned named Toby Omotesho. He was like, oh, IMVT is looking for... they were looking for a black dancer, right? And it was like, yeah, message this person telling me from Toby, blah, blah, blah. If I tell you that I messaged, called, emailed, called, until the man answered me that same day. I was like, the worst that can happen is he says, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Abby, called, message. And then I created my website because I design websites too. Created my portfolio, sent it to him. And then he saw everything, the performance. He was like, wow, you're amazing. And that's how I started. And then from there, I've done like 6 different jobs with him. Mm-hmm. I'm actually doing another job with him next week. Mm-hmm. And from there, because his organization was one of the top in Ireland then, it caught the attention of other people. And then from there, it was just job after job. I started teaching in dance classes. And then I just kept on pushing. I kept on sending messages to organizations applying for award for funding to create work, mm-hmm. and to the grace of God and Almighty Jesus Christ and the help of friends, I kept on getting them.
Yeah.
And in May 2022, rollback 2020, I met my now fiance, Victoria, and we started dating. So in May 2022, we decided to open up a dance company together, mm-hmm. which we called Umakoko. And I think it was May 4th or something. Yeah. And then I started putting on shows, dance shows, theater plays. I put on a theater play. I put on a music concert with a couple of people. And we started this show that we call Wave. Wave is a dance show that just highlights mostly immigrant dancers in the dance community in Ireland. But we also like to mix it up to introduce Irish dancers. But it's basically a celebration of dance and of dancers that are taking dance as a form of career. And are actually pushing forward to create a career out of their dance, whether individually or whether with a brand or whether with an organization. And we've done that 2 years in a row. The third one is going to be this year. And then last year in 2023, because I came up from a training background, dancer, and I always believed, oh, you have to train, you have to do different styles to perform and all of that, I started UMA, which is a dance training platform dedicated towards training dancers towards, you know, being professionals or just having fun as much too in 2023. And yeah, that's the journey so far. And here I am today from 420 euros and 1 week to stay in a hostel to doing okay, I think.
$1 billion gang.
Amen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. It's coming. It's coming. But that's such an incredible story, man. Thank you so much for sharing that, like, from literally ground zero. And it's so cool. Like, you were kind of, I mean, Kaffee is one of the legendary, like, top, like, dancers. She created a movement, actually, when it comes to, like, contemporary Afrobeats dance companies in Nigeria. And it's just gone from there. She's inspired so many other, like, you know, creatives and dancers who have now, you know, stepped out to do their own thing. So massive, massive, massive shout out to Kaffee, and, you know, and how she's inspired your journey, right? Do you still keep in touch with her?
Definitely. You got to. Mama, how are you? She's like, I'm fine, my son.
That is incredible. So talk about UMA Coco. What does UMA Coco mean? Like, that's the name of your dance company.
Yeah, so I'm Nigerian. My fiancé is Portuguese. No, she's not Portuguese. She speaks Portuguese, but she's Brazilian. She should never see me say that. And when we were trying to come up with a name for the company, we both had the idea that we wanted to innovate, we wanted to create, we wanted to push the boundaries, and we wanted to always think ahead. What could we do? How could this be? How could we evolve? How can we develop? And I can't remember exactly how we came across the name, but we developed the name UMA Coco. We're scribbling, we're writing, we're writing too many things, and then we started thinking about, okay, what do we want for the company? And we kept on coming up with the idea we wanted it to be one, together, oneness, unity. One, the first, all of that. And then we're like, okay, what does one mean in our languages? And then I wrote down, oh, Akoko. You know, that's the first Akoko.
As a Yoruba, right? That's
Yoruba. In Yoruba, yes. Yeah, in Yoruba. And then she was like, oh, one in Portuguese means Uma. And then I was like, And we're like, oh, what if we do UMA Coco? We're like, no, that doesn't make sense. UMA Coco, no, that doesn't make sense. Okay, UMA Coco. And I can't remember how we got about the Coco, but somehow we just ended up with UMA Coco. Because in our mind, we're still UMA Coco. We're like, no, UMA Coco doesn't make sense. And we wanted to keep our culture with the company. We didn't want to make it sound like just very like foreign. Right. And that's how UMA Coco was born.
That is incredible. That's such a beautiful thing that happens too when you travel. You're introduced to so many other cultures, so many other people, so many other languages, right? So many other ways of life and so many other creatives and humans that you get to live with, work with, collaborate with, create with, and be engaged to, right? So so it's really dope that y'all started this, UMA Coco. And you know, so how starting the company and all that, like how did it help with your, because, you know, with my own journey, because, you know, I came here for my master's in theater design, so I'm an artist, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to filling up those hours to apply for your papers and, like, all that stuff, it can be very, very, very tricky. And people go about it various, various ways. So how did you go about, like, okay, for the purposes of, since I'm jackpot and I want to stay jackpot.
Yeah.
How do I, so, like, would you mind just talking about that a little bit of how you were able to kind of figure out your, like, the paperwork of your immigration status and all that with your company?
So the first thing that came to mind was, how can I succeed as a dancer?
Yes.
And because my thought process was still with dance as a career, mm-hmm. I started thinking about how can I apply for the paper using dance as a career, as opposed to finding another job and then using that job to apply. Mm-hmm. And then I started talking with a lot of people. I started talking with a lot of artists, with a lot of law organizations. And then I found a lawyer. And then she said, oh, they do this for people. And I was like, yes. Now, at that moment, and even till now, I haven't found another dancer that has been able to do this in Ireland. And I'm still hoping to find. So from the little that I know, I'm the first person to attempt this. And then I had a meeting with her, and she took me through the process and said, oh, you need to have this, you need to have a couple of documents. And thankfully I had that, because I was working with, you know, communities, councils, organizations here in Ireland, and I had the whole portfolio from Nigeria, so it was strong enough. And then what she did was to open up a dance company for me, and then use the dance company to apply for the paper for a specific stamp under the permits that the country offers. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got it. So I am the owner of a dance company, mm-hmm. and I am employed by that dance company, mm-hmm. that then works paper-wise. So mm-hmm. I have a couple of years, as long as I keep working with the organizations, the councils, and all of that, and I maintain a specific amount every year, I get to keep my stamp, and after a while, I get my citizenship. So now I'm a couple of years into it. I have a few more years left, mm-hmm. before I get it. So, you know, maybe the next time. I was going to say the next time we talk, but we're going to keep talking. Honestly, we're not going to talk again. Yeah, but yeah. So in a few years, I'll be able to get the stamp 4, which is the resident permit in the country.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's like, that's a testimony. And I hope that that's, you know, like, that encourages and inspires someone, because, like, not a lot of people think about starting a company as a way to actually legitimately get papers and get your, you know, your feet solid in a country, if that's what they want to do. If they want to move here, but they don't want to let go of their career, let go of their dreams, their businesses, energy company, or, like, for something like so artistic as movement and dancing and training people, you know, so that's absolutely incredible. And, you know, shout out to you, and shout out to your lawyer for putting one and two together to make three.
Apparently she does it a lot for a lot of artists.
Yeah.
So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it was fast. She did it like this. But the money you have to pay.
It's not free. There's no free lodge in Freetown.
I reasoned it.
Yeah. But yes, no, thank you so much for sharing that. And now I have, because you're a black man, Ireland is not necessarily a black country. So of course, this question is coming. How have you been able, or what has, you know, navigating, you know, even the artistic community, because I'm sure that an artistic community existed there even before you moved there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what did, as a black man in a predominantly white country, city, all that, what has navigating that been like? Where have you been hit with some racism? Have you been hit, like, what have you been hit with, like, discrimination and things like that? Like, I have my own personal stories, just like being outside of Africa, period. And like, I don't know anyone who doesn't have a story. And so I just am really curious about how you know, what that has been like for you and how you've been able to kind of push forward and push through. Because at the end of the day, they're not paying your rent. So, you know, like, just have to fight every day and face your goal and all that. But I'm really curious how you were able to overcome and some of the things, you know, if you could share some of the things you faced.
My dad always said something to me, right? Mm-hmm. From when I was young till he passed away. He always said, my son, remember the son of who you are, right? And there was a time I never used to understand why he said that, right? But then he got to a period I started to understand it. And I think I understood it a lot more when I got here. And the reason I think I understood it a lot more is because when I came here, for example, the Afro dance scene was almost non-existent. It was little. It was like it just started.
Right.
And here I am, a guy from Nigeria, claims to dance Afro, but also claims to dance contemporary and different styles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I fought my way to integrate into the country. Everything I did was keeping to the principles and values of who I am, of who I was raised, of how I was raised by my parents. Mm-hmm. But also, I had the doggedness of achieving my goals. So I did not, I literally put in the backseat everything else that wasn't on the surface level that allowed me to get to the point where I wanted to get to. So I would say for me, the first year, I think I blocked out any form of racism. I just blocked it out because I was like, it's not helping me. I don't want to talk about it. It's the only thing it's going to do is push me back. It's going to start making you create bridges or burning bridges. So what I did was all I cared about or all that mattered to me was achieving my goal as a dancer, mm-hmm. as a dance artist, as a performer, as a maker, as a creator. And every circle I went into, all I did was observe, do what I wanted to do and leave every time. So anytime, same situations that I would be in, other people were in, that they would talk about, oh my God, we're treated this way, it's not right, we're not meant to be this and that and that and that. Not that I didn't acknowledge it, it was just because all I wanted to do was find a solution, find a way around it. What do I do to change this situation that people are feeling? Because I realized if I had stayed there and talked about it and said, oh my God, and all of this, it would draw me back and it would put me down. And that's not to say that those discussions were not valid. They were valid. You know, it was not good. It was terrible. I've had people stole me tomatoes while I was walking the street, you know, that kind of way. But that would happen. I would keep going. I wouldn't even stop to look back at it because it's very easy for them to say you made a mistake. It's very easy to be put in a position where you were too aggressive or you sounded this way. You know, all they needed to say was one thing and 3-4 people to corroborate the story.
Right.
So the most important thing for me the first 2 years was dance, create, make, meet people, influence, and grow. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And I think that's why the first 2 years, even when there's a lot of conversation about racism, surrounding racism, I acknowledge it's there, but I think inwardly I shut it out just because I wanted to get to a position whereby I could make changes and I could be in a space where my word matters, as opposed to I was just complaining about stuff. So it was there. The way people would look at you, the way people would address you, the way people would talk to you. But I always say, as much as I understand and those things happened, going into detail for me would take a lot because I try to always, you know, there are different situations where you go to events or you go to a showcase or something and you see the way, you know, my fellow Black people are treated and it makes you question why are we, you know, putting ourselves not putting ourselves, why are we constantly in this situation where we feel we need to defend ourselves? Mm-hmm. Why are we in a situation where we feel like we need to explain or we need to say something twice? Mm. And all that concerned me was, how do I get to a position where I could change this? How do I get to a position where this could be amended? So yeah, in terms of the whole situation, there's a lot to say, yeah. Right? It gets heavy, yeah. Right? But yeah, I tend to move away from that. But moving away doesn't mean I don't see it, I don't know it, and I'm not going to address it. Mm-hmm. But it just means that if the people there are the ones that see this, I don't see anything. Mm-hmm. What I feel would solve the situation is to get there so that you can finally say something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? And yeah, you're so right. Because if you allow it to really get to you, man, you will just wake up angry every day. Like, you are ready to, like, you were so right. Like, you can just, you are put in triggering situations, and it's unfair because you really cannot react. Right? Anger from a Black person is seen as aggression, period. You're not allowed mm-hmm. to literally express an entire range of emotion of anger, whether it's raising your voice, not having a constant smile on your face, or addressing a situation in an assertive way can be looked at like, and try being a woman on top of all of that, man. It's a whole other thing, right? Yeah. But yeah, I really admire you saying, you know what, I want to get there and then, you know, solve it, taking account of course, what is happening, but choosing not to let it get to you, because that's really the power stance. Like, you kind of, like, your goals are too big, man. Your dreams are too precious. Like, your life is precious, man. You don't want to speak up and you don't have a voice the next day, God forbid, right? Mm-hmm. And that's all part, like you said in the beginning when you were talking, remembering where you're from, remembering where you come from. Right. Mm-hmm. And no matter how much they call you the N-word, you know your father's address back in Nigeria. Like, you know, like, you're not lost.
Yeah.
You're not misplaced. It was your choice to come here. And for those who it wasn't even their choices, which, you know, it's more than heartbreaking. There's still power in identity. Right. And the moment you're able to, like, nail down and be like, look yourself in the mirror and know who you are and know that no other voice of anybody else matters. Right. I think that's, you know, holding on to, like, the strength of who you are, who your fathers were, their strengths, their struggles, mm-hmm. their joys, their tears, it all has made you who you are today. And holding on to that is really powerful and beautiful. So, yeah, man, thank you for sharing that. We got deep for a second. We're coming out. We're coming out. We're coming out.
We're out now. We're back out.
But yeah, tell us a little bit more about your dance practice, right? Just sell your markets more. Just sell your market. So do you travel for work? Are you mostly in the UK or in Europe? Like, do you, you know, talk about it.
Yeah. So I'm a multidisciplinary artist. Apart from dance, I work across different genres in dance industry, from Afro, contemporary, which I've done a lot of. I also have basic understanding of the foundations of different styles, hip-hop, Bollywood, house, commercial, jazz, dance hall. Mm-hmm. These are things I have foundations of. I currently teach an Afro dance classes in Dublin, Ireland, which is an open level to anyone who wants to learn how to dance. So I have, like, beginner classes, and then I have intermediate open level classes also. Mm-hmm. I also have, with the company, a training regimen where we take in dancers who are willing to get on stage or on scene experience to, you know, help boost their selves and self-esteem and career and stuff like that. It's my dream to travel this year across Europe teaching, which I hope to do this year or early next year. Apart from dance, I'm also in the theater. I've worked as an actor, director, performer, producer. I also work as a producer for literally any artistic endeavor, whether theater, whether dance, whether acting, whatever. I've worked as an assistant director for an Apple TV series called Foundation.
Okay.
Yeah, which is something I got from a friend. I also currently am working to develop a proper business template for a dance company. If you're going to have a dance company, what does a business plan look like? What does a template look like?
Right.
How can you use this for yourself or for your business or brand or whatsoever?
Right.
I'm trying not to leave anything out.
Kind of like offer consulting services, right?
I also offer consulting services for new dancers or advanced dancers or intermediate dancers that are looking to level up to a specific point of the dance industry, because the dance industry differs from not just dancing on stage. There's also behind the scenes, a teacher, a choreographer, a producer, a coordinator, a manager, a dance finance person, an administrator, etc. There's so many other things I offer that for dancers that are looking to, you know, looking for other career paths that would not take them away from dance, but are still dance related. I do that also. Yeah, I am a website designer and a marketing.
Let's go.
And a marketing personnel, currently more digital marketing, but also in different areas of marketing. I am currently studying for a cybersecurity course, because I want to go into cybersecurity in the future.
Okay, get it all, man. Yes.
It's, yeah. So, yeah, that's all I can remember now. Yeah, I'm also a video editor, a graphic designer. I do this because it's ongoing. You know, graphic designer for me, it's I'm not up to the level of some people, but we're trying.
Right.
Set designer, stage manager, all of that did since Boja days. A video editor, a videographer, which is what I do also on the side sometimes. Yeah, that's it. And yeah, that I can remember. So far, that's all I'm doing and up to. And
right.
I offer most of these services through Umakoko, because that's just the best way to go about it.
Yeah. Amo, please, let's pray Favour Money Abeg, because he's doing 10 billion things. Amo,
you want to attach my Revolut and PayPal?
They
can come for my services.
Why not?
I work everywhere. I work across the globe. I don't need to be in one place.
Yeah. Okay, so share your social media, like...
So...
Website,
across Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it's at @officialpack. At @officialpak_. If you just type that and you can find me anywhere. My website is www.officialpark.art, which makes everything easier. That's it. I think if you find me from my website or you find me from social media, you have access to me already.
And that's how people can see like your upcoming events and trainings and classes.
And training and everything, yeah. And by the time, when is this going to be?
Soon.
Yeah, but like next month, kind of soon.
I cannot tell you when.
No. I just need to know. It's not going to be in the next 2 weeks, right?
No. Not in the next 2 weeks for sure.
Okay. So by the time I get this, I'll be working in a dance company, in a dance organization, Dance Ireland, as a membership and marketing officer. So, yeah, because we want to get across to more students and people in Ireland. Because my entire goal is to work the business, understand it, and then take the same template back to Nigeria to allow people that want to dance but don't know how to start, to give them that platform and say, there is this organization that works with dancers, you can come in there, get training and all of that. So that's the goal. And that's why dance as a career has been, that's the essence of why I dance.
Yeah.
Because I do, growing up, you hear things like, why are you dancing? It's a hobby.
Yeah. Exactly.
You should not be dancing. So
yeah.
And I was like, that's one thing. If there's one thing my legacy is gonna be, is I'm gonna change that in Nigeria.
You're in great company, man. You already have been mentored by Kaffi, who is literally doing that right now. And so I only look forward to how much further you're gonna take the work and what you're going to do, right, for the new generation. So before we round up, we're ready to go. Give us a word of wisdom, Mr. Favour. Favour us with some flavor of. wisdom. Give us an advice, a word of wisdom, a word of, just leave us with something, a proverb, whatever, just something to, you know, ginger us as we go on our journey in life.
Yeah. I will say this because this is what my brother told me in 2016, before I went into the dance industry. Believe in yourself. Stay away from gossip. And make sure that your goals are clear and well-defined. If you do these three things, right? And let me just clarify this. By making sure your goals are clear and well-defined, know your path. If your path is to be a doctor, what do I have to do to be a doctor? I have to go to this company and work there as an intern for a year and work with a top person and then work there and then move somewhere else. And then from there, move somewhere else. That's what I mean by make your goal clearly defined. Right. If you can do these three things, I can assure you, I'm beating my chest. I don't know whoever's watching this. I'm beating my chest. I'm telling you, you will get to the point where you want to get to. The process is important,
yeah.
Right? Don't jump the process. Let it happen. But I can assure you, if you have a goal, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, stick to it. By that seventh year, you will be surprised at how much you've done. I say this because I've done it and it worked. And now I'm in my second phase. So it's not an advice from an idealistic point of view. It's an advice from a realistic point of view.
Tried and true. Tried and true. Thank you so much, Favor. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this has been very impactful. I've learned so much more about your journey and how you're just, see, honestly, like, when I see your dance videos, even on Instagram or, like, Facebook, as you, I'm like, hey, spray money. You people that are passing by, spray money. But, you know, it's so exciting. And I'm rooting for you from where I am in my corner of the world. And I just, you know, I'm very excited about all the things you're doing. And I look forward to even more of what you're going to do. Very soon, maybe we'll see you in Canada, in the US. Maybe
it needs to happen.
It needs to happen, right? Just visit, come and teach us some of your, maybe you've coined a new Afro-Irish dance genre or whatever. And right? But it's really exciting what you're doing. And I just want to give you your flowers right here and, you know, shout out to you.
Looking forward to
more of what you do. And thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this has been awesome.
Little old you.
All right. Well, let's say bye-bye to the listeners now. thank you all for listening
all right.
on this episode.
Bye, guys.
Until the next episode. Bye.
So much love.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Afros in the Diaspora. I hope this episode left you feeling inspired and hopeful. To engage, feel free to like, follow, share, and subscribe to Afros in the Diaspora on all social media and podcast platforms. Remember to leave a review and a rating. If you would like to be a guest, please reach out. Send an email to hi@afrosinthediaspora.com. That is hi@afrosinthediaspora.com. Or send us a DM on Instagram @afrosinthediaspora. Remember, there is beauty in our stories and power in our voices. Together, we are stronger. Until next time.